making excuses or concession for it. But I would think that for that particular part right there, a difference should be made. But the way they're having this law, that you have no say, no whatever, you know, whatever. And most of them was men that voted on it. I'm just saying, okay.
Yeah. I think you're right. No, I'm not disagreeing with anything that you said. I think whatever you say, because you should not go out and have recreational sex and says, okay,
they got pills they picking up in the pharmacy.
Take care. Yeah, that's right.
After night sex and come on. I've never heard of such travesty coming up as a young woman. I said, now everything is just free, everything, and they don't want to face the consequences, the responsibility where they're at.
Right. I agree with you, and you get no disagreement here at all. Because
talking from Miss Cece's kitchen, I don't care.
Oh, well, yeah, Miss Cece's kitchen, boy, oh boy, oh boy, I can't wait to Thursday. I'm not going to rush my days, but I'm going to be looking forward to Thursday. Let's put it this way. Now, what I'm saying is, you're exactly right when it comes to incest. Remember growing up, Danny and Dr. Demery, and someone was saying, I remember my parents and everything like that saying, you do not marry your brother or sister. Well, they didn't have to tell me that, right? Or your first cousins and things like that, because it's too close and something mentally you might have there might be a mental problem there. Now, they weren't
over in Britain.
Hey, look.
The royal family is all about incest. They got cousins and friends. Well, they do, yeah. Uncles and
look here.
Everybody trying to keep that royal blood and
some. Well, see, that's why they're crazy.
Come on, I'm just being honest.
Okay, and that's why that could be, because I'm gonna tell you, you do not mess with genetics. You do not mess with DNA, and there's something to be said about that. Now, we are learning more about that from a scientific study that it's not good to marry a close relative or especially a sister or a first cousin, because those bloodlines are too close and it could affect the natural order of things. Okay? Now, when it comes to a situation where there's an atopical pregnancy, or the child is born with, or the child is breathing because it's living off of the mother. Now, Dr. Sims, you can help us out a whole lot on this, because I don't know a lot about the biological makeup of women and how that can affect the child. But there was a child that was born without a skull or half a skull or whatever it is, or like I said again, an atopical pregnancy, or. And this is my dismantling of you pro-life people here. You're saying murder is murder. I don't care if it is incest. I don't care if it is rape. I don't care if it is an atopical pregnancy. I don't care if the girl is 10 years old. I don't care if her body is not able to carry it to term and stuff like that. Now, you pro-life people out there, let me tell you something right now. You got a situation where there's an atopical pregnancy and the mother. And that means that, correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Sim, that means that baby is developing outside of the womb. That means that baby is not going to make it to term. The baby is going to die, and perhaps their mother could die also. Okay?
Yeah, the mother and the child.
The mother and the child. So
the mother's in great danger.
The mother is great danger. So this is my point right here, Dr. Sim.
Yes.
If you pro-life and you said murder is murder, you just murdered that mother and that child, didn't you?
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Okay? You look in a situation
that's not a normal pregnancy. The baby's not going to survive anyway, and the mother's at high risk the longer she carries the baby in that fashion.
But I'm pro-life. No, I'm not. Okay, you see what I'm getting at with this? And that's why their argument falls apart on its face. You got a 10-year-old girl that could die because her body is not equipped to carry a baby to term, and so. Now, the baby could die and the mother, then the 10-year-old girl could die. And you pro-life? Murder is murder, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, and also,
in these foreign countries, look over there in the Pakistani countries, Indian countries. These girls are getting pregnant at 10, 11, 12 years old because that is their custom. Okay. But a lot of these girls, even in intermarrying, William, a lot of these girls die from having intercourse with grown men at that age. They cannot, their bodies cannot handle that.
That's
but
my
yet
point.
They're forced into that situation. So guess what? We over there looking at somebody else and know what the ramifications are and trying to bring, and the only reason why we got some sick puppies up there who want this sort of thing.
Okay? That's right.
Let's put it where it is. They're seeing all this, and because they have a lust for young flesh, you understand, and do not want to pay the price, but they're going to pay the price later on. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
My thing is this, you cannot, the girl is, that's a baby.
It's a baby.
Okay. Come on.
That's a baby.
You got grown women walking around here. Go get one of them.
Okay, seriously.
Because I feel like getting started on this, but I won't right now.
No, you can, look ridiculous. Here, I'm telling you what.
It's ridiculous.
This is the boomerang. You can get started on anything you want. I told you, I want Dr. Sims to be Dr. Sims. I want Dr. Tisdale and Dr. Dimmer to be themselves. Oh, tell, no. Look,
it is
absolutely disgusting.
It is disgusting. And then also with them having that kind of taste and that kind of flavor in their mouth of wanting a 5, 6, 7, 8 year old girl, they are truly possessed.
Sick.
That has nothing to do with God design as they're trying to say it.
They're
they
sick.
Are liars and they are possessed.
And do you know something else, Doctor?
Y'all listening, you need Jesus.
Well, guess what? They will tell you in a minute. Oh, I go to church every Sunday.
Oh, and I know they do, and they're getting busted too. God pulling covers off of them. And I'm telling all you jokers. I'm telling your name and the name of the church. Yes, I am.
Please do.
Now.
Hey, Danny, did you know that Dr. Sims, her nickname, I don't know, is the whistleblower.
That's right.
The whistleblower.
Right.
I'm telling you. Talking about what it is. You know, people have lost sight and so out of step with what's real and what's reality.
Right.
And you can say whatever you want, but a lie is going to be a lie.
You're right.
A lie.
It'll always come forth.
Dr. Demery, a lie is a lie, ain't it?
Right. Lie can become the truth.
Look, it cannot become the truth. But again, I'm talking to these pro-life people out here. They're talking about murder is murder. So you just murdered this 10-year-old girl. You just murdered her baby. You just murdered this woman who had an atopical pregnancy and she can't get an abortion. Now you just murdered this woman, or you caused serious harm to this woman that she may not, the woman who baby died inside of her and the doctor can't even take it out because your laws would not allow.
They're scared because of that law now. They don't want to treat them because they're questioning their level, where they have to go. I've seen them and they've talked on the news. It says, we're not going to do it because we're not sure about the law. They're not sure about what they can do. Even though the woman's coming there, she's hemorrhaging, you see. Mm-hmm. And they want to spare the child, but she's bleeding to death. So they're like wiping their hands. They don't know what to do because now the medical team don't want to get in trouble with the law that's been passed.
They can go to prison. They can go to prison. You're exactly right. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take it a step further. You pro-life people out there. So under no circumstances can this mother have an abortion, but you also want to take the contraceptives away. What is that all about?
Well, that's for those weekenders. That's what that's for.
I don't care if you, I don't care if you're a weekender or a rear ender or whoever, whatever it is.
Oh, Lord.
Just look at it. They're doing commercials now on it. Talking about, I can go and get this and had sex last week and I can pick up these pills. I don't even need a prescription. I just scan it and walk
Lord
out.
Lord Jesus.
So that's giving them the right to go out and do their frolic and do what they're going to do. Forget about the baby that they conceived. Do what you're going to do. I'm going to eliminate it regardless of what God says. So there is an oxymoron here. There
uh-huh.
is a paradigm in here.
Right,
okay?
Right.
It's making it bad for the women who need to have certain medical.
Absolutely.
Those that are loose goose out there doing their own doggone thing.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So for you pro-life people out there, you can take that mess and go somewhere with it, right? You can take that mess and go somewhere because you are putting these women that are high risk. There are certain things called high risk pregnancies.
Come on.
Okay. high-risk pregnancies. So you're going to change the life of the mother and the child just because you want to prove a point? Mm-hmm. But you're pro-life. So the mother and the baby dies. So did you protect them? Are you protecting them? Or are you protecting your pockets? Because, see, somebody is paying you to spew that crap. Mm-hmm. Somebody is paying you to vote that way. If you're in the Congress, if you're in the Senate, if you're in the Senate, okay, you're in the state. You take these clowns, host on TYT called DeSantis, Governor DeSatan, okay? Yeah, I said, yep, that sounds about right. Then you got that clown in Texas where you are, Danny, okay? Yep. Abbott. Right, now, I'm going to tell you something. I hope Beto O'Rourke find the votes and whoop the pants off of that dude. Because Abbott is no good. DeSantis is no good. We can go into all of those red states and rip all of them out of there. And I tell you something else. So now DeSantis, he's got a bunch of problems. See, he started off when, now he needs money now. And so he has called a truce with Biden. And that's what the media is calling it. Okay. Because he needs the federal government's help. Hey, wait a minute, hold DeSantis. And your wife is out there fundraising for you too to try to get you out of this mess that you guys are in right now. Okay. Well, what about that $1.5 million that you sent when you started sending plane rides or having these migrants or these people that are here legally seeking asylum and you ship them off to Martha's Vineyard? Think you need that $1.5 million now? And what is your butt doing in Texas anyway? You in Florida. He took the people from Texas. Okay. Sent them to Florida, and from Florida sent them to Martha's Vineyard, and also it was deceptive how he did it. And he sent them
Who paid for it?
Oh, he paid for that. He took it out of the from the taxpayers there in Florida.
He didn't pay it out of his checking account. I'm gonna tell you that right now.
No, it didn't come out of his checking account.
I'm just saying.
Okay. No, it didn't come out of his checking account. You can believe that. Oh, these clowns, they don't pay for anything. No, they believe.
And they use it as a tax write-off like they did.
He can't write this off because it was the taxpayer's money. Okay. So again.
Well, like your 45th president says that he can declare, because of his status, that he can declare immunity from fraud. You know that, right?
Yeah. Well, you also know that he can also declassify documents, but just by thinking about it. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard
he
of in my
that.
Life.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did say that. That is the dumbest thing
now
I've ever heard.
Because he's going after because of his financial status and his fraudulent measures and his business. He said he could declare immunity.
All he got to do is think about it.
From that fraud case. So, see, this is the kind of foolishness that we are listening to. And people are walking around believing. So, therefore, they feel like if the upper echelon don't have to pay the piper, then they're going to continue to cause all kind of hell, right? So
that's exactly right.
Why would I go to jail for having a weed and get 10 and 15 years for just smoking weed? Come on now.
No.
It don't make sense. And you can walk away because you're rich and you have supposedly have money and you get a slap on the hand and you keep walking. So that's why people don't trust folks nowadays.
You can't trust them because they're going to put, like you said, they're going to put somebody 15 years in jail for a joint, and yet they got piles of cocaine at these orgies that they have.
That part. Got it in
the hypocrisy here is astounding.
Sad,
it's astounding.
Sad.
And guess what, Danny and Dr. Demery? This is a country of laws, right? Nobody's above the law. And I do not understand. Now, I tell you what. One thing I do love, and we're going to talk about this a little bit, too. I love this sister. Letitia James, the New York AG. She said about 2 or 3 years ago, right, Dr. Demery, I think we talked about it, too. She says, Mr. Trump, we're coming after you.
She sure did.
She sure did. As she is coming after, she done hit that clown with her 200. Oh, this is just the guideline, or what is that? The baseline, that $250 million that she's suing him for, she said that's the baseline.
That's now, just the start of it.
That you got that right. You got that right. Just the start of the baseline. That means that, you know what? The clock is running and this bill is getting higher. Okay.
He don't know what they're going to come after with him next, because he thought he had all of his ducks in a row and all bases covered. But they had to go around the corner to get him. They couldn't come straight with it because he's slick. He real slick.
Well, I tell you what. He was in a deposition with her, and they said he took the Fifth Amendment over 400 and some odd times.
All he said was his name, and everything else was the Fifth.
It was the Fifth Amendment. Now, he may have boxed himself in his own corner just like he did with the special master deal. Because in a criminal trial, okay, because see, this is a civil trial. And I'm glad the way she did this first, right? In a criminal trial, and there's a jury, judge will give, and I wish Ann was here, he will give instructions. You cannot infer, or you cannot hold this person saying the Fifth against them. You can't do that. In a civil trial, okay, this is the deal. If you declare a Fifth, that can be used against you in a criminal trial. See that word? If you did it the other way around, it wouldn't work. Okay? But if you got the civil trial and you declare the Fifth, then they can use that against you. But if you're in a criminal trial and you did it, then they can't use that against you. That's how it works. Okay? And I've heard that several different times from different sources that of our legal minds, so to speak. But the thing about the hypocrisy again, folks, is absolutely stunning. It is absolutely stunning. I was saddened that what happened down here with the hurricane. I was also saddened that I didn't get a chance to see the weenie roast, the roasting that the January 6th committee was going to put on last week. I was waiting for that. I had got my popcorn and everything like that. Then the hurricane came on. That was supposed to be another January 6th hearing. And I was really intrigued with the last hearings that they had, and I watched them. You know, I'm fascinated like that. I was fascinated by it. Anything like that, I'm fascinated by it. I was fascinated by it. I was very young, but I was fascinated by the Watergate trial. I was fascinated by that. I was equally or even more intrigued about this one, because somebody I want to go down, I'm, Lord, get him, get him. Please get him, Lord. Please. Oh, you know, so I would, but so Bennett Thompson was on TV this morning. And if I understand correctly, he said that they will probably have another hearing before the midterms. And I'm thinking that it may be in a couple of weeks or so. I don't know exactly, but what's happening there. But folks, we need to get out here and we have to vote. We're going to have a little fun here right now. It's not fun for this guy. Okay, that way I'm about to play. Dr. Demery, remember last week, you were talking about Brett the Rat. Brett the Rat.
Oh, yeah, Rudy the Rat.
No, I'm talking about Brett. Brett Favre.
Oh, yes, Brett, I'm sorry, yeah.
Okay, folks, you say, well, what does this have to do, with the voting? And I'm gonna tell you that in a second. So, to give you a little recap, everybody knows, or you football fanatics, you know who Brett Favre is, okay? A Green Bay Packer quarterback for several years, and I believe he has one ring. I'm not sure if he has two, but I believe he has at least one Super Bowl championship, okay? And I didn't like Green Bay then. I don't like Green Bay now, but that has nothing to do with what I'm about to say, about what I'm about to play, rather. What I do not like, again, in government, is all of this good old boy stuff, right? And this good old boy network where they feel that they're above the law, they can do anything that they want and get away with it, all right? And Brett Favre is that guy. Okay, hold on 1 second. Let me see if I have this here. It's my understanding. Now, I need to be corrected. I said it was $100 million, but it was only $77 million that him and the governor of Mississippi stole from the people that needed it the most. Dr. Demery, I believe you said $77 million last week, and you're right. It was about 70, but that's a lot. This money was supposed to go to people who really need it, okay? The welfare people and things of that nature. And Brett Favre and his governor got together, and he got, I believe they got something like $5-6 million for to build a volleyball court, volleyball gym or something like that in Mississippi, okay? A school that his daughter was attending. Okay. And he also got $1 million for some appearances that he never showed up to. Okay. So this guy is bad all along. And I believe I have this tape up here. I'm going to play this just for a second, for a minute or two. Let's try it.
Essentially feeding the rich and robbing the poor.
New details now surrounding accusations that retired NFL quarterback Brett Favre used welfare funds.
Allegedly showing NFL Hall of Famer Brett Favre pressing former Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant for money because he wanted a new sports facility at his alma mater.
We've seen a ton of welfare money that's intended for the poorest folks here in the state of Mississippi flowing to people who just simply did not need it.
In a different text exchange, Favre asking New, if you were to pay me, is there any way the media can find out where it came from and how much?
Favre has denied knowing where the money came from and has not been charged with a crime.
How come nobody's talking about this? I mean, when former Redskins football player Clinton Portis was allegedly accused of a similar situation with his $4 million healthcare fraud, it was the talk of the town. Every major news outlet had Clinton Portis' face plastered all over the TV for his allegations. And yet, for Brett Favre, it's crickets. This news is so not trending that last week, when you tried to type his name in the search engine, it didn't even populate in the top three results. And many people are wondering why. How is it that a football player like Michael Vick was dragged endlessly in the media about dogfighting, essentially ruining his reputation and being criminally charged, but this NFL golden boy, Brett Favre, has text messages between him and the Mississippi governor plotting how to allegedly steal millions of dollars that's supposed to go to poor and needy families, all to give it to privileged people for a new volleyball stadium? And nobody wants to talk about this?
I talked to people that was in the room when Brett Favre went to the Hall of Fame, and nobody mentioned about text messages that he sent to that Jet masseuse. Nobody mentioned anything about the addiction that he suffered from. But yet, T.O., they brought up everything. Can you imagine if T.O. would have had an incidents like Brett Favre off the field? T.O. still, to this day right now, would not be in the Hall of Fame. Yet they walked right past it like Brett Favre did nothing.
That is true. I give you that.
The problem that I have with this situation,
yep.
You got to be a sorry mofo. How can you got to be really low to take from the poorest of the poor?
Skip, when black and brown people defraud the government, they do it. They hell bent. Mm-hmm. You get an EBT card and you get WIC and you get stuff like that, boy, they move heaven and earth to try to put you in jail for $400 little measly dollars.
Fact.
Now this man done took $1 million. Yep. And they sitting around like, Well, you know, it happened.
And this is leading many people on the internet to wonder, is a dog's life more important than poor human beings? And how ironic that the main headline topic this week is about Ime Udoka's cheating scandal, while Brett Favre just silently and barely sees public criticism for taking food and shelter out of hungry families' mouths so that his daughter can get an upgraded stadium to play sports in. And all anybody who knows about this story is saying is, if the media is going to drag one athlete for inappropriate scandals, you got to be fair and keep that same energy across the board. Straight up.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Folks, you see what I mean? See what I mean? Okay, then we can draw a whole bunch of lines from that. Michael Vick, we guys remembered Danny. And I don't know how much of a sports fan you are, Dr. Sims. If you are, just tell me.
We played sports all in my family, so we're sports.
So you're pretty familiar with these athletes.
No, I'm not. I don't watch them that much because they get on my nerves.
Okay, well, I love sports, but anyway,
I'm being honest.
Well, that's okay. All right, that's what we want. But I love football. I love baseball. I love basketball. You know, tennis. But anyway. Just say, I hate bowling. Hate it. I don't even call it a sport.
Really?
Hate it. I got my stories behind that too. But anyway.
You couldn't bowl. Oh, sorry.
I said, I hate bowling. Now see, you're drawing your own conclusions.
That's a controversial question. That's a controversial statement.
I said I hate bowling. I didn't say I couldn't bowl. I just hate it.
Most time people, when they hate something, because they can't do it.
Hello. Oh, Lord, see. All right. Dr. Sims, we'll get back to you later.
No, you have to get back to me.
No, you and I, we're going to talk off air. Okay. But anyway,
no, we ain't talking.
Yes, we are. I'm calling you. You better answer too.
Fix my dinner. Huh?
Okay. Okay. But anyway, let's get back on topic here. Michael Vick. Everybody remember that dog scandal. Matter of fact, Michael Vick spent almost 2 years in prison, didn't he? Behind that dog fighting scandal.
I remember that.
He went bankrupt. Michael Vick at one time was the highest paid quarterback in the league.
Remember that, yep.
Folks, he lost everything. And now, I'm not condoning what he did. Or, as a matter of fact, he wasn't even there, but it was on his property. You see how this works? It was on his property. Okay? And because of it was a cousin or somebody else who ratted on him, and Mike Vick took the fall. Oh, and he was just scared. Now, it's something that this brother said right now in this last segment. It's a shame how people are more concerned about dogs than they are about poor people. Think about that. Michael Vick went to prison for dog fighting. Brett Favre, they haven't even slapped him on the wrist yet. Now, it's my understanding that he paid that $1 million back, but there was interest that was associated with that he never did pay back.
He stole money. He needed to be in jail like the rest of them.
Absolutely. And I think right in that same state of Mississippi, you got a brother that's been in prison for over 25 years for stealing a pair of hedge clippers.
Oh, come on.
That is a fact.
That is so unjust.
That is a fact. I did a story on this last year. I did a story on that last year for stealing a pair of hedge clippers. I think it's the same state of Mississippi where there's a brother, he got life in prison for stealing $9. $9. And he stole over $1 million and conspired to steal over $77 million. Now, where the other money went, I don't know. Him and the governor both conspired to do that along. Now, you know they had some other people with their hands in the cookie jar, too. Come on.
Law enforcement.
Come
governor,
on.
Governor, of course.
Right. You got Steve Bannon, which has nothing to do with sports or anything like that, or this story right here, that robbed people when he had his Build the Wall fund. And they out there, and they didn't build anything with that. They took the money, they bought yachts and luxury trips and cars and boats and everything, right? Well, he's still going to trial. Now, I don't know about you guys on the panel right here, but it seems like when it comes to a certain part of the population, crimes move swiftly, and in some, it depends on what neighborhood you're in, justice moves pretty slow, doesn't it, Danny?
This is true. There does not exist in America a judicial system. There are two unequal ways that they deal with people that are fluent and have money and others that don't. Now, it doesn't make it right. The scales of justice are tipped in a lot of situations, you know, and they're not tipped into the favor of people who look like me.
And me. That's right. You're exactly right.
You gotta be intelligent enough to keep yourself out of certain positions. Still doesn't make it correct.
That's right.
Do it, but it's reality. You just look at it.
It is reality. And that's why we have to keep sounding the trumpet. We have to keep sounding the trumpet. And like I said, and Dr. Sims, I am taking everything that you said in the beginning of the program about how you do believe in voting and how important the vote is, but how, folks, you really can't count on it. But I tell you what, I would rather be in the position of saying, okay, yep, I did my best to do something about it. Because I'm going to tell you something. I think it does But it needs enough of us. We need powerful influences, because if you go back to Martin Luther King, prior to 1968, oh boy, you couldn't even get a job if you were black. I mean, you couldn't get a job that would pay you for what you were worth, number one, and number two, to sustain or maintain a household. Things did change in the early 70s, where I saw more positions being opened up. You had people that were able to be influential because of the vote, where it was more of an equal opportunity situation, where the government did step in and says, oh, no, you're going to have to hire X number of black people in positions of authority here in this country, okay? And they were able to do that because of businesses being regulated by the government, whether it was the tax structure, labor structures, labor laws, or whatever it is, and they were somewhat more inclusive. You have people out there now, and especially other people and affluent people, and you know who they are saying affirmative action. Oh, that was bad for the country. No, it was not. Without that, some of my children wouldn't been able to get into certain schools. They wouldn't be able to get an education from certain institutions and things like that. The schools weren't able to be funded to the way that they should have been, and it still isn't equal. It still isn't equal. Okay? Folks, you got to wake up, and we got to do something. I would rather be on the side of being proactive as far as doing something rather than sit back and say, there's nothing I can do. No, I'm not going for that, because something has been done before. You take like people like Martin Luther King, all right? Now, people back then, also Danny and Dr. Demery, they put a label on the Black Panthers, which wasn't true. Black Panthers back in the day, even among some black people, was looked at as a gangster type or organization. Okay,
I'm gonna make you laugh about the Black Panthers. I was doing mini Olympics. I told you we love sports work. Uh-huh. Right, I was doing track and field. The Black Panthers came to the gym. It was in Los Angeles, the arena there where we were at, and you know the karate guys with the, you know, the Japanese guys doing the breaking the sticks, the big old thick sticks and stuff like that. And so, but when the Black Panthers came, those particular Black Panthers came for fighting. And so not all of them were good. I'm going to be real with you. And some of them told me I needed to run on the bus because I was too light. And I'm like, wait a minute, wait. And me being a sister, okay. But they told me, a young lady told me who was in the Black Panthers, they was dressed up in their gear and the whole nine. And they started fighting, but when it came to the Japanese guys, they let them walk right on past. They didn't bother them, okay? Now, I saw that with my own eyes. Now, I was just saying, not all of them. Those few that came there, whatever their purpose was, they fulfilled that. They came there to start some mess, and they started it well. It had nothing to do with the better good for the African-American, us looking out for each other, because they was clocking us too, okay? Hmm. So that was that sector. That wasn't all of them. When you said that the last time, William, now I know just even with the gangs, with the South Side and West Side, I've never been involved in gangs. And I know when they first started out, it was to help the community and things like that. But when we talk about Black Lives Matter, and I know we're just jumping all over today a little bit, but I'm not going to say Black Lives Matter, because if it did, we would stop killing each other if that was the case. Black Lives Matter. And so I know that there's a purpose for that cry. It's to get people together and try to get people to iron out their differences. However, we got to do a whole lot more and more better than just holler out Black Lives Matter. If that do, put down your weaponry, okay? Stop separating your sides of the street, okay? And stop selling drugs to each other. Stop killing each other. Stop pimping out your girls. Come on here. Let's go to the deep part of it, all right? And I'm understanding the ramification of the trying to get it together and make a difference in the community. But let's make it a difference within us first, okay? Because you can't reach a community when you got division and all kind of foolishness within a group who's doing a lot of hollering, okay? And the evidence is in the change in your your dialogue, the change in your life, the change in your views. People need to put it on the table so that we can face us, okay? We got to face us. And I know what you're saying, William. I understand clearly what you're saying about the Black Panther. That's the, that was the aim.
Okay.
But I'm telling you, I had a bad experience. Oh,
okay. Let me share something with you.
I think I was about 13, 14 years old.
All right.
I had a bad experience.
Let me share something with you. I read this in the book, Freedom of My Mind by Angela Davis. Okay. Mm-hmm. I also read this book called Glass House Tapes by Lewis Tackwood. And I know that's out of print right now, and it may be hard to find, but I'm going to ask the audience, if you love reading, check out those two books, Freedom of My Mind, by Angela Davis and, Glass House Tapes by Lewis Tackwood. Now let me share something with you. And I believe it could have been in the Glass House Tapes. See, and let me tell you something else, Dr. Sims, that you may have been experiencing. I'm not saying you didn't experience any of this, because I know that you are telling the truth, because that's who you are. Let me share something with you. The Black Panthers, they took up arms, and they did protect the Black communities where they are. And they also fed the homeless. They also fed the communities and things like that. There was one time that they got a call to the headquarters, and they were preparing dinner for the community, whoever needed it. Okay? And they got a call that one of their brothers or a group of their brothers were in trouble on one part of town. And I'm not sure. I believe this was Washington, D.C. I'm not exactly sure the location right now. And so they left the headquarters to go out to protect. While they were out, the FBI came in and planted thumbtacks in the spaghetti. I'm going to tell you something else. And this could have been part of the group that you've been dealing with. But all four of us know the term agent provocateur.
Okay.
Where you have the Panthers were peacefully demonstrating. The government had a plant, okay, among the Black Panthers, and they did this often to provoke the police. Someone in the crowd threw a bottle at the police, and it allowed the police to open up fire on them. Okay, so they were set up. So what I'm saying to you is, those guys that you ran into and the experience that you had, they may not have been the ones that were really on the side of right, because you have to understand the government planted a lot of these people in there, and they were called agent provocateurs.
Okay.
Okay. And that was to send out a message that was different from what the intended or the intent was, you see. Because I know this for a fact. And then they would do things like put up false propaganda, because, like I said before, when I opened this thing up about the Black Panthers, there were a lot of Black people that didn't like the Black Panthers. Okay, keep in mind what I'm saying.
Wow.
You divide and you conquer. Okay. You throw discourse in there. You throw bad information in there, and you get people to believe that, hey, it's your brother that's doing this. Okay. Or you got a Black on Black crime. What about that? Okay. Right now, and I'm going to give you a statistic, and you guys can look it up. They holler about Chicago right now. And anybody's killing anybody. I don't care if you're in Chicago. I don't care if you're in Delaware. You're wrong. And you need to be stopped. You have to also understand that the killing that's going on, like the Black on Black, that may not necessarily be who you think it is.
They wearing masks that look like us, William.
That's oh, come on.
They covering up themselves.
Come on.
They're walking in. They look like African-American people. They're infiltrating these groups to find out their strategic plan. They are casting a shadow on them. That's what I told somebody.
Come on.
Laugh on this. I said, these gang members need to have everybody stripped down to their underwear to see if they authentic or not, because police are going in there undercover.
That's it.
It's so real, you would think that they are one of us.
That's exactly right.
And we are being fooled by this. They show this stuff on TV. People need to pay attention.
You need to. Thank you.
They tell on themselves.
Thank you.
What they're doing.
Thank you. I'm glad you said that. I even talked to some gang members before. And they says, William, did you know that police do drive-bys?
Yeah, they do.
There was one who was my godson, and he was working with me for a while, and he told me he was in Los Angeles. He wasn't doing anything wrong, but he was in a gang. Mm-hmm. And I believe he was a Crip. I believe he was a Blood. It doesn't matter. But anyway, police picked him up. He didn't have anything on him. He didn't have any weapons on him. He didn't have any drugs on him. But they knew from their database that he was a gang member. They took him and dropped him. They didn't have anything to charge him with. So they picked him up from where he was and took him to the rival gang's neighborhood and dropped him off.
I believe that.
Dropped him off. And it's because he knew his cousin was in an opposing gang, and somehow he said he ran through alleys and everything and made it to his cousin's house, and his cousin was able to get him back in his neighborhood safely. Okay? You have gangs within our police divisions, folks.
Well, they don't want peace, William. Remember that time when the gangs were settling? I'm a history buff a little bit. And so when they were they were solving their problems by dancing it out, pop locking and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the crime went down. Nobody was shooting up each other because they was dancing it out, right? Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. The police weren't satisfied with that because, killing black folks is business. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's money making business. Keeping gangs is business.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so guess what? The jails weren't getting no people coming in because wasn't nobody doing no crime. They were dancing. I remember this as a young teenage girl. Wow. And what happened was they start stirring up the marketers. The marketplace is talking about they messing up their business. They weren't messing up their business. What the police were doing was inciting a rivalry between these gangs. In fact, like you said, they went in within the neighborhoods and start shooting, whereas they had put their guns down.
Mm-hmm.
It's in history where they had put their guns down and they just started dancing it out, which was a commerce so that nobody, and whoever won the dance, they won the dance.
That's it.
Nobody was firing. Nobody was getting mad or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, wow. But I said, this is a sad thing. And we knew it then when those gangs started firing guns back at each other, who incited that?
Absolutely. Dr. Demery. Okay, we got a few minutes here left to go in the show. We're going to end just a few minutes earlier today. But what would you like to share with the audience based on the conversation that we just had?
Well, I think it goes back to what Dr. Sims was saying. We have to be real with ourselves. We have to be honest with ourselves. We have to live a salvific life. And once we do that, then we realize that black lives really matter, and that's what it's all about. Stop killing each other. Men, stop disrespecting women, and women, respect yourselves. Don't let these men just run over you any kind of way.
Right.
And, you know, that's what I used to teach my daughter. I tell them, you know, don't let, you know, these crazy fools just run over you any kind of way. You know, respect yourself. So I would hope that all of this sinks into the listeners. And thank you for doing the show, William. It was great. And I hope it's sunk in for some people.
I do, too. I do. Hey, Dr. Tisdale, where are you? Where is he? Okay.
I found that book, William, The Glass House Tapes.
Yes.
And they're selling it for $764.08.
See? See?
And they only have one in stock.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. No, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, I saw, I'm glad you said it because I looked it up, a year or so ago, and one place was selling for $1,500.
This book must be something else.
It is something else. And I'm going to tell you something else about it, Danny and Dr. T. I don't know whether you guys have read or heard about Glass House Tapes or not, but it also talks, it talks about a lot of different things. And it talks about, and the guy who wrote it was named Lewis Tackwood. Lewis Tackwood was a double agent. Now, what do I mean by a double agent? He was a gangster, but he also worked for the FBI.
Wow.
He was also...
You consider, you was talking about the Panthers. You got to remember J. Edgar Hoover, Target, those groups.
Yep.
The Black Panthers, the Blackstone Rangers. When you really know Come on. The history of how he targeted them, you know, it was a sabotaging of a good idea in the beginning, but got infiltrated with many different things.
That's right.
And J. Edgar Hoover had a lot to do with it.
He sure did. Sure did, brother. Thank you for that. I forgot about the Blackstone Rangers. I forgot about them. Mm-hmm. You had Ron Coringa and the U.S. organization out in California. Remember, you had H. Brett Brown, Huey Newton, those cats, right? And I tell you something else. They also tried to set up Angela Davis. Remember, she was on the run?
Mm-hmm.
And they tracked her down in San Francisco. And what they did, they tried to charge her with a crime that she had nothing to do with.
Right.
They want to charge her with guns, and she didn't even have a gun. It was her security that had a gun, and that story was questionable about whether they even do anything wrong or not. And she was she was on the run, okay, and she was staying in an apartment in San Francisco. The FBI rented an apartment right across the hall from hers, and she was surveilled from there, folks, and so. She must have had some brilliant attorneys back then because after they went to trial, she was exonerated.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we didn't get much exoneration back then. exoneration wasn't something that we could.
If they had to plant something to get you in jail, they would have.
Look here, I'm going to, and J. Edgar Hoover, he was a stone crook.
Come on. He was.
Look him up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at his past, he was doing everything. I think, look at it. Anybody's lifestyle is their business, right? But, you know, if you got, you know, you live in a glass house, don't be throwing the stones, right? Yeah, I don't think he care. I think he liked men more than he liked women, but that's his business too.
Ooh.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But anyway, that's a whole nother deal. This has been a very intriguing show. Hey, Dr. Sim, no, I'm gonna go to Dr. Demery first and then we're gonna go to Dr. Sims. She's gonna tell us all about, Ms. CC's Kitchen. Dr. Demery, your church, where can we find it?
We are Mentone Congregational Church. You can look us up on Facebook. We're redoing our internet page. We'll be coming on real soon. So thank you very much for being a part of this panel. Danny, thank you. Dr. Sims, thank you. And William, thank you for doing the show.
Thank you so much. And folks, Dr. Demery's church, is there a stoplight in town? There's a stop sign, folks. So don't travel too fast because you're going to miss it, right? But if you get a chance, you really want to stop by. Now, what street is that?
On the corner of Highway 38 and Beryl, B-E-R-Y-L.
Okay, and watch your speed, folks. You're going to miss it. All right, so you don't want to do that. But I tell you what, I used to go to Dr. Demery's church, especially if I was late going to New Hope. I said, well, shucks, I can still go to church. And I would get, man, and it's a whole different deal there. It's a small, quaint church, and everybody is welcome. You're welcome there. And then, guess what? He feeds you, too.
Mm.
Man, I had some of the best greens that Dr. Demery, he can cook. They had some of the best greens, some mac and cheese and chicken. What else did we have? And we had dessert too.
Peach cobbler.
Oh, come on with that now.
Hello.
Hey, this is serious business. Oh, that's right. Danny, we went there to sing that one time.
A couple of times,
Yeah, it was great. It was great. It was great. Dr. Sells.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Tell us about the kitchen.
Miss Cece's Kitchen is aired every Thursday at 4. And of course, Miss Cece's Kitchen is a global radio network that's broadcast on Studio WBuzz. Come on over and visit us every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6 Central Standard Time, and 7 Eastern Standard Time. We're a controversial show. We stir up some things that people don't like to talk about, and we go for the jugular on it. And so we're dealing with some things right now that are quite a serious issue here, and we always come up with the current events. So if you hear me extra real about it, that means I just found something I need to disclose and bring out. And we're disclosing these stinky pastors again who's still doing their little dirt. But they're being uncovered. But we're also dealing with relationship issues and things like that. And we're going into not the surface stuff. We have to go in down below in the middle parts that are bothering people mentally and emotionally, which caused them to not have a stable relationship. But they're afraid to address what the resolve is, which is within them. So I'm a mental health specialist as well. And also I deal with the mental as well. So it's quite extensive, but you'll enjoy the show because me and my co-host, she's an awesome lady, woman of God. And, she deals with mental health as well. So we deal with the real nitty gritty.
Mm. Hey, Danny and Dr. Dermot, like I said, I tell people all the time, I said, look, bring your fire suits. If you're going to visit the kitchen, bring the fire suit. Dr. Sims and Victoria, said one time, look here. If you ain't selling nothing, take the for sale sign down.
And get out the bargain bag.
Get out the bargain bag.
You just got in the bargain bag. 50 cents. Really?
It is wild. It is wild. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. As usual, I thoroughly enjoy the boomerang because we do our best to deliver some information and hopefully some helpful information to each and every one of you, as well as being entertaining. This is not an entertainment show, but we love to entertain while we're providing hopefully some useful information. And get out there and vote. Hey, I'm WB. I'm the host here, along with Brother Danny Tisdale, Dr. Reverend Rudolph Demery, Dr. Cecilia Sims. It's always a pleasure, folks. So hang in there, have a great time, and enjoy your Sunday. Come back in just about an hour and 7 minutes or so for Sunday Night Gold. Hey, it's WB and the Jazzy One with the best in smooth jazz and R&B. Enjoy your Sunday. Thank you so much. Oh, let's do this one right here. Rick Braun, I love this song. Love Will Find a Way. Enjoy your Sunday, everyone. This is Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network.
Bye, everybody.
Enjoy.
Enjoy.
There was a time when all of love like water.